Good evening to you, brethren. So good to see you. We'll go ahead and get started with our Bible study tonight. Hope you have your Bible with you, open to the book of 1 Chronicles. Class material prepared and filled out. You're ready to look at an overview of the book of 1 Chronicles, the 8th book of history. There's 12 in total books of history, Joshua to Esther. 1 Chronicles is the 8th under the Mosaic dispensation, 3 total dispensations, the patriarchal, Mosaic, the Christian. We're under the second one, Mosaic. In the 8th period of history, the United Kingdom, there's 14 periods of history. The United Kingdom, the reign of Saul, David, and Solomon. We'll be looking at the reign of David tonight in the book of 1 Chronicles. It can be broken up into 2 main parts. Genealogies from Adam to the return from Babylon, chapter 1 to 9. And then history of King David, the rest of the book, the reign of David. Much of Chronicles is parallel with the books of Samuel and Kings. However, there are important differences. Kings tells about both kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Remember, we studied once we got to the Solomon, his reign, he had the divided kingdom, had 2 kingdoms, Israel, Judah, and it was emphasized both kingdoms, Judah and Israel, the kings of each. But in Chronicles, the emphasis is placed upon Judah. They're the royal tribe from which the Christ was to come. Kings has a prophetic emphasis. Chronicles has a priestly emphasis. A lot of emphasis on the worship and activities involving the house of the Lord. We'll look at tonight. And 1st and 2nd Kings written before the captivity. Chronicles after. Information in 1st Chronicles concerning David's reign that's not found in 2nd Samuel, vice versa. It's important to study both to get a bigger picture of David's reign as king. As was mentioned, begins with genealogies, chapters 1 through 9. Genealogies, beginning with Adam, running to several generations of people who lived after the Babylonian captivity. Reference 1 Chronicles 3, 19 to 24. These are important because Christ was to come from the family of Abraham, from the family of David. They traced the line of descendants through whom Christ came. The greatest focus on the line of David. And there's an outline listed for your benefit. And that brings us to chapter 10, the reign of David, the rest of the book. Chapter 10, we have what? What's dealt with, chapter 10? The death of Saul, parallel with 1 Samuel chapter 31. We saw that. They were battling who? The Philistines. And in 10 verse 6, so Saul died, and his 3 sons and all his house died together. In chapter 10, it gives the reason for Saul dying, verses 13 and 14. What was the reason? Jason? Good. He died for his transgression against the Lord, against the word of the Lord. He didn't keep it. Asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, inquired of the familiar spirit rather than of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So Saul died. Then David's anointed king over Israel in chapter 11. This was according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Reference 1 Samuel chapter 16. You have Jerusalem taken. We read about that in 2 Samuel 5, 6 to 10. And David's taking Jerusalem was the first time we read of the Israelites acquiring this important city. It would become the capital. You have David's mighty men, 11, 10 to 47. Remember that from 2 Samuel, 23, 8 to 39. You have the account of the well of Bethlehem. Then chapter 12, the growth of David's army, a chapter that's not found in 2 Samuel. You have these who came to David to Ziklag, mighty men, helpers of the war. Verse 1. Verse 22, at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. List the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war. Came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. You have the numbers listed. Verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. If you remember in 2 Samuel, in chapter 3, in verse 1. There was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles truly shows that to be the case, David waxing stronger and stronger. In chapter 5 and in verse 1 of 2 Samuel, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles really expounds upon that. As verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king. God's hand was in this. In verse 18, for thy God helpeth thee. The true purpose was to turn the kingdom from Saul to David. And several numbers are listed specifically. There are more than this, but when you just total the numbers listed, like in verse 24, 6,800 and so on, it comes to a total of 340,223 men of war. And there was joy in Israel in verse 40. Then, chapter 13, what's discussed? Moving the ark, bringing the ark to Jerusalem. We look at chapter 13 and 15 together. They go together. You have the first attempt to move the ark, chapter 13, the second, chapter 15. First, unsuccessful, second, successful. Parallel with 2 Samuel chapter 6, chapter 13 with verses 1 through 11, 15 with verses 12 through 23. But 1 Chronicles gives more information concerning the second attempt of moving the ark compared to 2 Samuel. You remember, they're going to bring the ark. It's in Kirjath-Jearim in the house of Abinadab. And they carried the ark in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. Uz and Ahio drave the cart. What did he do? Put forth his hand, took hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. The oxen shook it. Verse 10, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. He smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And verse 12, David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? What's the answer to that in chapter 15? No, not to carry the ark of God, but the Levites. How did they know that? Verse 15, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? According to the word of the Lord. Highlight those words. That was the answer. If David had inquired of God, looked to the law of God, he wouldn't have asked such a question, and the events that had just unfolded never would have occurred. The fact that he asked, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me, shows he didn't inquire of God. The answer was there all along. According to the word of the Lord. Today, men ask questions. How shall I? How shall I worship? How shall I live? How shall I speak? How shall I, what? Take the Lord's Supper. How shall I, you name it. First of all, the fact that they're asking that question shows they don't know the answer. It's God's word that reveals the answer. And that is according to the word of the Lord. How shall I worship? According to the word of the Lord. How shall I live? According to the word of the Lord. Right? When we ask those questions, that's the answer. According to the word of the Lord. First attempt was unsuccessful. Why, John? They didn't do it by the Lord's command. That's the whole difference. Verses 13 and 15. We sought him not after the due order, according to the word of the Lord, verse 15. It was unsuccessful, first of all, because they sought not God after the due order. They didn't do according to the word of the Lord. It was successful the second time because they sought God after the due order and did according to the word of the Lord. It's as simple as that. You have the phrase in verse 13, we sought him not after the due order. What does that mean? What does that mean? We sought him not after the due order. What's that talking about? Pete? Good. Following the pattern. Certainly. We sought him not after the due order. There's two We'll break the phrase up into two parts. Sought him not after, first of all. Sought him not after. They did not seek God. They didn't consult God. They didn't inquire of God. They didn't go to God or ask God or resort to God. After the due order. Due means proper, fitting, right. Order means judgment, ordinance, manner, arrangement, sequence, pattern, method, or rule. They didn't seek God. They didn't consult God. They didn't inquire of God after, about the proper, the fitting order, pattern, or rule. There are other translations that help us understand the phrase, like the New King James. We did not consult him about the proper order. NLT, we failed to ask God how to move it properly. NIV, we did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. English Standard, we did not seek him according to the rule. They didn't ask God how to do it properly. What do you learn from that? What do you learn from that phrase? We sought him not after the due order. Eric, you learn anything from that? Absolutely. Severe consequences. What happened as a result of their not inquiring of God after the prescribed way, the due order, the proper way? The ark didn't make it to Jerusalem. Uzzah died. Severe consequences. Lessons from that. There is a due order. There is a due order. There's a proper order. There's a prescribed way. There is a rule. That's according to the word of the Lord. 15 verse 15. That means we cannot do something however we see fit. We cannot do something any way we please. We can't decide what we think is best. We can't do what we think is good or right or proper. There is a due order. Any way different than the due order prescribed by God in his word is improper. It's out of order. It will not work. You learn to consult God, inquire of God after that due order, after that prescribed way, and then do according to the word of the Lord. Many will die spiritually because they sought not God after the due order. They're doing things improperly, out of order. They're putting the ark upon a new cart because they aren't seeking God after the due order, the proper way, the rule. You learn that order is important. God sets the proper order. And simply, there is order. Order is important, and many people are getting things out of order, doing things improperly. People are out of order when they suggest that baptism is not essential for salvation. Baptism comes after salvation. It's a good thing to do. You can be baptized, but that comes after salvation, not essential. They put baptism after salvation. That's out of order. That's improper. The Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptized shall be saved. Baptized shall be saved. Baptism, then salvation. Not the other way around. They're out of order, improper. When they suggest the kingdom has not been established yet, but it'll be established when the Lord returns, it's improper. It's out of order. When people are partaking of the Lord's Supper, having the collection monthly, or quarterly, yearly, a different day than the first day of the week, it's improper. They haven't sought God according to the due order. Because if they did, they wouldn't do such. When you call evil good and good evil, you're out of order. When we make worship about us rather than about God, we're out of order. When brethren, Christians, get along with people of the world better than they do with faithful members of the church, they're out of order. I've come to understand, in order for me to get along with some Christians, I'm going to have to become more worldly. I'm going to have to be more loose, more liberal, in order to get along with some Christians. That's out of order. That's improper. When people suggest casualness rather than reverence, it's out of order. And the list goes on and on. 15 verse 26. When God helped the Levites that bear the ark. What do you learn from that? When God helped the Levites. You learn something? Exactly right. God helps us when we Seek him after the due order and do according to the word of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 13 and in verse 10, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. Highlight against Uzzah, against Uzzah. In chapter 13, when they didn't seek God after the due order, the Lord was against. His anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. There was death as the result. There was fear. David was afraid, verse 12. There was failure. They brought not the ark home, verse 13. That's the result of not seeking God according to the due order and doing according to his word. Contrast that with chapter 15. After they sought God after the due order and did according to his word, there was joy, verse 25, with joy, contrasted with fear. God helped. You have God's help when you do that. God helped them. He was not against them. And they were successful. Verse 29, the Ark of the Covenant came to the city of David. The two results. Seek God, inquire of God, after the due order, the proper order, the prescribed way, and do according to the word of the Lord. You learn that from this book over and over again. Chapter 14, you have preparation for David's house, David's children in Jerusalem, two victories over the Philistines, parallel with 2 Samuel 5, and his success, again, due to his inquiring of God and doing as God commanded him. Are we doing that? Or are we putting the ark upon a new cart? Then chapter 16, the ark has come to the city of David, Jerusalem. This chapter is really summarized in 2 Samuel 6, 17 to 19, gives more information than 2 Samuel, like the Psalm of David, verses 7 through 36, not found in 2 Samuel. A lot of good lessons from the Psalm of David, verses 7 through 36. What stands out to you from this psalm? John? Give thanks unto the Lord. Verse 8, verse 34. Give thanks unto the Lord. We need to give thanks unto the Lord. What else? What stood out to you?
Praise and glory.
Absolutely. Good. Seek the Lord. Verse 10. The heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord. You have something else? Got one more. Who has one? Remember. Oh, yeah, good one. Verse 12, remember his marvelous works. Also couple that with verse 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Remember his marvelous works, his covenant. Good. Give thanks. Remember. Praise for the Lord. Seek the Lord. Sing unto him. Great is the Lord. Give unto the Lord. Fear God. Different things from a Psalm of David. That psalm is repeated in Psalm 105, verses 8 through 22, at least are found in that psalm. Ministering was done, and in chapter 17, David desires to build a house for God. We saw that in 2 Samuel. His answer was, spake I a word. And David would not be the one to build a house for the Lord, but he made promises to David. I will set up thy seed after thee. He shall build me a house. I will establish his throne forever. Twofold fulfillment in Solomon first, then ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. David prays to God. Chapter 18, you have David's conquests, parallel with 2 Samuel chapter 8. He smote the Philistines, smote Moab, smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah. He slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. It was through those victories and the gifts that were brought from those nations that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Then battle against the Ammonites, Syrians, found also in 2 Samuel 10. Hanan, king of Ammon, His father, Nahash, had just died. Nahash had shown kindness to David, so David was going to return the favor, show kindness, send messengers to the son of Nahash, who's reigning over Ammon now, to comfort him. But the messengers were accused of being spies. They were poorly served. As a result, they stank. They were odious. They made themselves odious to David. As a result, they hired chariots, horsemen, to battle David, and ultimately David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men and became his servants. Rabbah's destroyed, giants slain, chapter 20, found in 2 Samuel 21, 15 to 22. Chapter 21, David numbers the people. We talked about that in 2 Samuel 24. This was a trespass in verse 3. Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? God was displeased. What do you learn from this trespass? You learn anything from this count, chapter 21?
What it shows us is David was interested at that present moment about the numerical strength instead of putting his trust in God.
Good. Showed a lack of trust. Anything else?
Satan had his part in this, provoking.
Good. Yeah, verse 1. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. As Richard mentioned, showed a lack of trust. In chapter 27 and verse 23, David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under. He didn't number them. Why? Because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like to the stars of heaven. And couple that in verse 3 when Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing?" And then, absolutely, Satan is found. Satan provoked David to number Israel. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It's Satan who tempts us, provokes us. He's working as he was then, he is today, seeking to turn men aside from God after himself. The trespass. He provokes us in our lives today through many wiles, snares, and devices. Satan provokes. Sin displeases God. Verse 7, sin brings consequences. 70,000 men died as a result of this trespass. Sin affects others. We see an avenue of God's punishment. To David, he gave three choices, three options of punishment. Verse 12, 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed, 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence. He chose to fall into the hands of the Lord, the pestilence. Perhaps we should follow suit. If our children act up, give them three options. Let them choose. That was an avenue God used to punish. And you have a good example of offering to still the sword. David was told to build an altar. He went to do that. And verse 24, he said, I will barely buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. He wouldn't offer to the Lord something that belonged to someone else. He wouldn't offer to the Lord something that was free, something that cost him nothing. Good attitude that we can apply to ourselves today. David was afraid. We read that once before in chapter 13. In both instances, why was David afraid? Paulette, do you say something? Because of his sin? The consequences? Good. Yeah, absolutely. In chapter 13, Uzzah had just been killed, been put to death by the Lord. David was afraid of God. Chapter 21, David was afraid of the sword of the Lord, verse 30. The sword that was against Jerusalem to destroy it. What do you learn from David being afraid?
It says something about God's power to punish.
It does. It says something about God's power to punish. Transgression brings fear. The consequences of sin brings fear. Sin bringeth forth death. James 1, verse 15. We ought to be afraid of the consequences of sin. Just read Revelation 20, 15, Revelation 21, 8. Talking about hell, the lake of fire. Who's going to be in hell? Who's going to be in the lake of fire? Those not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a list given in 21, verse 8 of Revelation. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers. Remember, idolaters, all liars. This is the second death. We ought to be afraid of hell, absolutely. Each person listed, those not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, each idolater, each and all liars, the fearful, the unbelieving, they ought to be afraid. Absolutely. Fear not them which kill the body, but aren't able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10, 28. That's a good motivator, being afraid. God is severe. That's a good thing. Motivates us to do what's right, to stay out of sin. David was afraid. If there had not been punishment for sin, consequences, there would have been no fear. No fear. He wouldn't have been afraid. When we fail to punish, discipline, and force consequences to evil, there's no fear. Rather, there's a comfortability, a comfort in sin, and that just results in more sin. Then, chapters 22 to 29 contains additional information not found in 2 Samuel. Chapter 22, David makes preparation for the house of the Lord. He spent a lot of time, a great effort, preparing. After being told he couldn't build the house, he did all he could to prepare for it so that his son Solomon could build it. How did he prepare? Verse 5, yes. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Specifics mentioned, like in verse 14, in my trouble I prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver, of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. There were workmen in abundance, hewers, workers of stone, timber, all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. When we get to 29, and in verse 2, you learn that David prepared with all his might. With all his might. You have David's charge to Solomon, one of them. There's another one. In verses 6 to 16, I highlighted verses 12 and 13. Verse 11 beginning, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Then verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong, and of good courage dread not, nor be dismayed. You want to prosper? Here's how you do it. Keep the law of the Lord. Take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged. Chapter 22, verse 16. Highlight this phrase. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Good charge for us today. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Verse 19, another one. Highlight this. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. We can say that today concerning the church, the house of the Lord. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. Good charge. Then we have the service of the house of the Lord, often mentioned throughout the book, like in chapters 9, 15, 16, and then 23 to 26. Among other places, at the beginning of the study, we may mention that much emphasis, priestly emphasis, is placed in 1 Chronicles, and we see that to be the case concerning the house of the Lord and worship and the Levites and their duties. Through referencing those, list the different duties men were appointed to. What is one? What's one of the duties? Priest. Levites were to be the priests, yes. Gatekeepers or porters. Gatekeepers. Chapter 9, 19 to 27 gives a lot of information concerning the porters. They were gatekeepers. These were guards at the doors of the temple. They had the oversight of the gates of the house of the Lord. They lodged round about the temple in order to be present for opening the doors every morning. There were four quarters, east, west, north, and south, and their posts were determined by lot. There were the porters, gatekeepers, door openers, gate openers. Give me another one. Did you find another one? Jared? There were governors over the house, yes. You had the ruler of the house of God, 9 verse 11. We mentioned the porters. You had certain who were in charge of the ministering vessels, bringing them in and out by tale or by count. You had some appointed to oversee the vessels, all the instruments, the fine flour, the wine, the oil, the frankincense, and the spices. There were those who made the ointment of the spices. There was the set office over the things that were made in the pans. There were those who were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Concerning the music of the house of the Lord, the worship, there were singers with instruments. There was the instructor about the song or the master of the song of the singers. There were those that would make a sound with musical instruments, them that are instructed in the songs of the Lord. It could be pointed out at this time, under the old law, most certainly instrumental music was used in worship. And if you reference 2 Chronicles 29:25 and Psalm 81, 1-4, you'll learn that instruments of music were commanded under the old law. That's why they were used. They're not commanded under the new law. We have learned we must do all things according to the pattern, inquire of God, after the due order. Under the old law, the due order included instruments of music. Under the new law, the due order does not include instruments of music. It says sing. If the new law said, use instruments of music, that was a command. After we inquired of God and we learned instruments of music, then we would use instruments of music just as they did. But it does not. And we're doing all things according to the pattern, the order of God, which does not authorize musical instruments today. There were those that carried the ark of God. We saw in chapter 15, doorkeepers for the ark, priests who offered burnt offerings continually every morning. There were those specifically chosen to give thanks unto the Lord. Aaron and his house were separated to sanctify the most holy things, burn incense before the Lord, minister unto him, bless his name forever. Many more of their responsibilities listed, chapter 23, 28 to 32. There were governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God. There were those who were over the treasures of the house of God. There were those who were over the treasures of the dedicated things. It was through the treasures of the dedicated things that the house of the Lord was maintained, chapter 26, verse 27. You have an example of that, 1 Chronicles 18, 11, when David dedicated the spoil of his victory. It was through those spoils, the dedicated things, that the Lord's house was maintained. Today, the church is maintained by the collection, the freewill offering of saints, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. You had the ruler of the treasures, 26, verse 24. Many responsibilities, many duties concerning the house of the Lord. Then we highlight frequency. Concerning the porters, it's revealed every morning, 9 verse 27. The showbread was prepared every Sabbath, weekly, once a week, every Sabbath. Singers, day and night, 9 verse 33, day and night. Ministered continually as every day's work required, 16:37. The priests offering burnt offerings, 16 verse 40, continually morning and evening. They stood to thank and praise the Lord every morning and likewise at evening. Morning and evening. Every morning and evening. They offered all burnt offerings in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, on the set feast by number, continually, 23 verse 31, frequency. Then we have appeals to order and command. We saw in verse 13 of chapter 15, solemn not after the due order, the consequences of that. According to the word of the Lord, verse 15 of chapter 15. 16 verse 40, do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord. 23 verse 31, according to the order commanded unto them. In 24 verse 2, it's mentioned that Nadab and Abihu died. You remember that from Leviticus? They died because they offered strange fire unto God, which he had not commanded. Uzzah died, both due to not doing according to the order commanded by God. So we have positive examples. They were doing according to the commandments of God. And we have the examples of those who didn't, when they didn't do according to the commandments of God. And those men died as a result of it. Emphasizes order and that of God. In chapter 24, the sons of Aaron are divided, distributed according to their offices and their service. They were numbered and ordered specifically according to the orderings commanded by God. 24 verse 19. Orderings matter. Orderings matter. They could not have said, why does it matter what order they come in? It doesn't matter the orderings. No need to divide and distribute. It would not have worked. According to the orderings commanded by God. Briefly, some lessons we learn from this. All worship must be done according to the pattern, according to the order of God. We saw the consequences when they got away from the order of God. We learned that order matters. They had specific orderings, specific divisions, specific offices, specific times, days. And they had to make sure the order was correct according to the pattern. Some get to thinking the order doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter who goes first, who's where, how it's done. Just as long as it gets done, the details aren't important. That thinking does not stand when you read 1 Chronicles. Nor does it stand elsewhere in the Bible. We learn it takes devotion. It takes hard work to ensure everything is done exactly as God would have it. There was a lot of responsibilities, we just noticed. A lot of work, a lot of time. Too many people today aren't doing God's will because they aren't willing to put the effort in, aren't devoted. Indifference and laziness, not found in 1 Chronicles. Wouldn't have worked then, nor does it work today. It breeds apostasy. Worshiping properly, according to the pattern, means adhering to specified times. They did many things daily, continually, morning and evening. Today, we have a daily religion, daily prayer, daily scripture searching, daily seeking the lost, teaching, bringing up our children, being faithful, abstaining from evil, you name it. On and on it goes. Daily, continually. They kept the Sabbath weekly. Showbread prepared every Sabbath, weekly, every Sabbath. They understood they cannot do that on any other day but the Sabbath day appointed by God. Today we worship upon the first day of the week. We have the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. We take up a collection upon the first day of the week. That's what the pattern specifies. That's the time. Upon the first day of the week. Won't work on any other day, just like it wouldn't back then. If you decide to do it another day, it's not according to the due order. It's improper. You're putting the ark upon a new cart. And men are going to die spiritually because of that. Time doesn't really matter. We don't have to keep the Sabbath every week. Let's just do it once a month, once a year. Why does it matter? What? Daily? Morning and evening? All the time? That's too much. That's too much. After all, if we did it maybe once a week, once a month, once a year, just at special occasions, it'd be more meaningful then. Such thinking does not stand. It's absurd and foolish when you study 1 Chronicles. It won't stand today either. Worship's not about me, what pleases me, what I think, what I want. About good intentions. It's about God and what pleases Him. What saith the Scripture? What's the pattern? God accepts worship according to the order. He doesn't accept worship that's not according to the order. There's a grave seriousness, a grave reverence that is depicted in these accounts in 1 Chronicles. You see the appeal to God's order and law, the specificity to detail, the importance of doing things according to the order and pattern of God, the time and effort that was spent for the Lord. No doubt that increased when Uzzah was put to death. It's serious. Worshiping God is serious business. You learn that from 1 Chronicles. Greatest reverence is demanded. The thinking, step it down, the casualness filling churches today is devastating. As a result, men are losing their focus and getting away from the proper order. There was a great strictness when it came to adhering to the law. We've seen it. And it's that casualness that gets away from the law of God. It says, no need to be so strict. And when we develop that kind of thinking, we start putting the ark upon a new cart. Worship and service to the house of the Lord was hard work. Every day, morning, even continually. Look back to Leviticus. See all the instructions, the details that were put in place through the law of God that they had to keep up with. The Lord's business is one of hard work, effort, and sacrifice. Are you willing? Are you able? Are you ready to work? Then you have David's two addresses, chapter 28 and 29. Many lessons to be learned from these two chapters. Give us one. What did you learn? John, go ahead. Then Daryl. Seek and observe my commandments. Good. Daryl? Do all things according to what God has told you. Dad, give us one more. No, serve and seek. Good. Good example of giving, chapter 29, 2 through 10. Then you have Solomon on the throne, 29, 23 to 25. That's the reign of David. We've studied it twice now. Hope there's been many great lessons from it that you have gleaned. No doubt one of the greatest emphasis placed in 1 Chronicles is seek God after the due order. I listed differences in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles just to give you a better understanding of the two books. Then David died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor. Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. 2 Chronicles picks up with Solomon on the throne. Thank you for being here, your participation. Pick up 2 Chronicles in the rack. Be prepared for that, as well as Acts 13 for Sunday morning. Look forward to that.